Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. On today's program, we'll hear a mayoral forum presenting four of the five declared candidates seeking the office of mayor of Omaha. Former Mayor Hal Dobb, current City Councilman Jim Suttle and Jim Vogel, and Randy Brown, a mechanic for Reich's Equipment. The fifth candidate, Mort Sullivan, declined the invitation to participate in the forum. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, March 19, 2009, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today, as Linda noted, our forum is jointly sponsored by the Omaha Press Club and the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha. And, of course, we will hear from the candidates for Omaha mayor as we approach the April 7th primary election, at which the field of candidates will be reduced to two before the May 12th general election. Now, questions for the candidates have been prepared by a committee of the Press Club and the League. The candidates have not seen them in advance. Each candidate will have 1.5 minutes to respond to each question. There will be 2-minute closing statements, and a timer will let us know when the time is up. Please no applause, shouting, whistling, that kind of thing during the forum, but you can do that now. Candidates, come on up. We'll get underway. Please welcome Randy Brown, Hal Dobb, Jim Suttle, and Jim Vogel. Mort Sullivan is on the ballot, but he chose not to be a part of this forum. So, as a result of a drawing from a hat, the first question will go first to Jim Vogel. And we've been hearing about this day after day. They've been answering questions about it, but it's what the public is really interested in, so we're going to ask it again. Crime is the major issue of the campaign. Everyone wants to reduce the level of crime. So candidates, please name 3 actions you would take to reduce the level of crime in our community. And Jim Vogel, you're first off to answer that question.
Good afternoon, and thank you to the League and thank you to the Press Club. It's good to be here. Crime definitely is the number one issue. When I announced to run for mayor, the CEO of the city on December 1st, I announced a community-based crime plan that focused on 2 solutions.
First and foremost, adding more police on the street. We need an additional 50 to 100 officers so we can do true community policing. Adding those police officers in hotspot areas, in business districts, doing interviews with the public to gain public trust, to find out where the influx of guns and solving crime is. We haven't done true community policing, in my opinion, in the last few years. We've got to fix the contracts to encourage veteran officers to stay on the force longer. But let's do exactly what we've done in the last 8 years with neighborhood groups. The broken window approach, solving the simple crimes, making sure that we put additional graffiti vans on the street, and do the simple things, adding a code inspector, so we look at all problems, big and small, to solve that overall picture. It's a community-based approach rather than adding a level of bureaucracy.
Hal Dobb?
The paramount and number one obligation and responsibility of municipal government is to provide efficient, rapid, and responsive public crime prevention and rescue and fire services. It's not always just a matter of money, but if you look on my website at haldobb.com, you will see my 7-point comprehensive crime reduction plan, and while there are a lot of details to it, the question was the 3 things I would do. One is I would make sure that we engage in a drop and or a lateral program in negotiation with the police officers union to bring retired officers back on duty that can't qualify then for further pension. The problem we got with the city being less safe is that we had this terrible pension dilemma since 2004 that's caused many officers to take their checks, leave service, and presence equals deterrence. So yeah, I agree with Jim, we have to put more officers on the street, and I've been very specific about how to do that, but that's just a part of the problem, maybe only 40% of the problem. I teach in the Life Learning Dorm, and you find a problem there with truancy and lack of ability to speak English and to read and The dropout rate's got to be worked on. So let's get after the broken family problems, the lack of male leadership, the dropout rate, and use Bright Futures and other faith-based organizations in our community to create partnerships to intervene and prevent these crimes before they happen and teach and train kids so we avoid filling up our jails.
Randy Brown.
The first thing I wanted to focus on, I wanted to donate 23% of my salary to community-led organizations working with crime and gang violence. Another thing is I want to be a part of it. I want to go out and work with those groups. I'm not going to be sitting in an office 24 hours a day. I'll have time in the evenings. I can go out and be with the people. And the third thing is we need more police on the streets. We wouldn't have that problem if they didn't all retire, but we need more.
Jim Sutherland.
We will never be able to solve the crime and the gun violence in this city unless we as a community are really ready to address the unemployment problem, and particularly on the north side. All of the candidates are focused on giving the tools to law enforcement. We will have the tools there for law enforcement, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle. We need to bring the other pieces of the solution onto the table. One of those pieces is education. As we drive down the truancy rate and give opportunities over and over again for our young people and people of all ages to find the educational levels they're interested in. But this third piece of the puzzle that must be on the table is jobs. Manufacturing, light industry, green industry, clean industry that needs to be located due north of here as we go up toward the airport. To put it within 5 to 7 minutes of where we have the highest concentrations of unemployment that is now going to toward 30%. This is how we can get on top of this problem. Thank you.
Let's get a little more specific. I don't think one of you has mentioned this, but people are shooting people with guns. What can be done to get the number of guns off the street or control gun violence in the community? Hal, you start.
I propose that we support a bill in the legislature authored by Senator Brad Ashford, now supported by the governor and by the attorney general, that essentially takes the RICO, federal racketeering laws, and applies them to 95% of all crime, including gun violence, which is state or local in terms of apprehension and enforcement. What that says in the federal law, if you look at conviction rates in, for example, methamphetamine and cocaine, trafficking, the numbers are way down because the participants are way down, because you not only arrest and put into jail for 10 to 25 years with no parole, the perpetrator, the trafficker, the seller, the person who does the graffiti, the person who does the gun violence, you arrest and convict in the same fashion those known to be associated with the perpetrator. So the driver, the lookout, the person in the back seat, the person that was at the planning meeting the day before for the crime, are treated the same way. You reduce the number of bad guys who want to be badder, or more bad, if you will, because you make the penalties the same. So there are a lot of other things I would do, but that's one very specific thing that in consultation with the U.S. Attorney and the FBI, and I've talked to these folks and law enforcement leaders, will do a great deal to suppress crime because we suppress the number of people who want to be involved in the 102 gangs and the 3,000 known gang members we have in this city today.
Randy Bond, guns on the street. What do you do about it?
That's a hard question because you're not going to know what everybody has in their home. You can control what's new gun sales. But working with the community and the people, if you go around, you're going to want to talk to people in gangs and stuff. As a mayor, I wouldn't have any problems doing that. Ask him, you know, what can we do? And a mayor can't do it himself. It has to be an entire community that wants a change. We have to teach our kids to think the right way, encourage them to stay in school. There's a lot to offer in Omaha. But if they don't have the encouragement to go for it, they're going to be left out. So,
Jim Sutherland, more gun control?
If we get into this discussion about laws and legislation and all, we'll get wrapped around the axle again on the Second Amendment. What we have is society has to want to reduce this whole focus on guns and the use of guns. I have proposed 2 years ago to put in the mayor's office a person who would be a former gang member who would provide that help in intervening into the circles of our city. We first need to get the gang members to keep the guns in the pocket, and second, begin to get them away and turned in. So we have to work at the core of this, and it's the thought process, and it's the whole temperament of why we are using guns. It's been said that it's for self-defense. I don't believe that for a minute. It's first strike, and we have to change that thinking to no strike.
Jim Vogel, gun control.
Let's talk about what this city council actually already did in the last year. We passed tougher gun-related crimes here in Omaha. That is part of the solution. I'm going to go back to my community-based crime plan that discusses a street intervention program just like Cincinnati and Chicago, where we mobilize members of the community and find out where the inflow of guns are actually coming into the city and stop the retaliation before it occurs. The other thing that I think we can look to the success of the Omaha Housing Authority, and this goes back to needing more police on the street, veteran officers, to do the interviews with the community, to begin to take the steps to build the public trust between the police department and the members of the community to solve the unsolved crimes.
Randy Brown, you get first shot at this next question. The so-called spiking that permits fire and police personnel to sometimes make more in retirement than their on-the-job base pay has been denounced by just about everybody. Mayor Fahey has named a panel of people to come up with solutions. What solutions would satisfy you?
I've ran a business before, and I don't know of any business that can operate allowing people to retire making more money than they made when they're working. It needs to stop. It's going to stop. A mayor is the one in charge. He's in charge of the police force. How can you negotiate something like that? That's just poor judgment. I think as mayor, they should try a new technique, just using common sense. It wasn't used.
Jim Suttle, solutions?
Well, I put a plan in place three and a half, four years ago to establish a coffee-style relationship with the heads of the fire and police union. I did that for a purpose, to establish trust, to establish a way that we could come to the table at a proper moment and be able to talk through the issues that we're facing, the pressures on the police and fire contracts. I have made a promise to the unions that we will resolve this at the table. That matches federal law. That matches the court rulings. You see, if something gets negotiated into the contracts, you can't legislate it out. You can't have edicts from the mayor's office to get it out or change. You have to sit down at the table and negotiate it. And that's what I will do as mayor. No mayor has ever sat at the table directly with the unions, and I have committed to do that. We need an actuary at the end of the table to run the numbers. We don't need lawyers. We need to settle on the concepts of how we're going to put change in these contracts, first with the spiking and then with the other components.
Jim Vogel, what about spiking?
In defense of Mayor Fahey and the City Council, we inherited a police fire pension fund in 2001 that was $100 million underfunded per the actuary and the pension committee that just met again for the second time yesterday. Spiking has occurred since 1994. It's not a contractual problem. It's a management problem. I haven't been mayor before. But what I will do as mayor is make sure that my police chief doesn't allow the overtime that contributes to spiking. I announced in early February a plan to fix the pension. We have a $500 million problem here. And first and foremost, I will eliminate spiking as part of that plan to fix the pension. Thank you.
Al Dodd, you going to eliminate spiking?
I haven't been in office the last 8 years to take our budget to a zero cash reserve balance or to create this civilian police fire unfunded liability of $500 million. I didn't vote, Jim, for the contract in 2004 that perpetuated the problem that you may have referred to that encompassed early retirements and spiking and comp time, which is fire callback. The answer is you eliminate all those things. But as Jim said, Councilman Suttle said, you have to negotiate these things at the bargaining table. That's the first and most important thing to remember. But when you do eliminate all those things, if you're lucky enough to get it done, that only affects future retirees still working today and makes the hole less deep. We still have the $500 million civilian, that's 100 and some and then police is $375 million. It's a lot of money. That's $28 million a year for 28 years. You have to have a supplemental plan that creates a 25-year structure without a tax increase so we can go to Standard & Poor's and Moody's and get our AAA bond rating back. I've talked about this before. My plan is clear, and you can see information about it on the website. But I will guarantee you that the structural problem of early retirement at age 46 or 7 with full benefits, including health care without contribution, is going to be the subject of every effort I can bend, having negotiated these contracts and, Councilman Jim Suttle, personally been at the negotiating table several times with collective bargaining units, which you wouldn't necessarily know because you've only been on the council 4 years and you didn't vote for spiking like our other competitor did. Thank you.
Jim Suttle, you get the first shot at this next question. The economic stimulus money coming from the federal government, what would be your pet projects to utilize those funds available to the city of Omaha?
Well, if we're going to have economic growth and development, we have to focus on the creation of jobs. And that is the primary purpose of the stimulus package. It should be the primary purpose. As mayor, I will make the creation of jobs, but the focus will be on the industry, green industry, clean industry. As I said, I think it has to be brought to the eastern part of the city. It needs to be in proximity to the airport, which puts it in proximity to the area where we have the highest concentration of unemployment. It's jobs. It's bringing in the green industry to capitalize on this new wave that we're going to have in this country. And being at the cutting edge of that, as we compete against some 200 cities, we need to be in the top five, not among the 200.
Jim Vogel.
Omaha is about ready to receive $300 million in this recent stimulus package. Certainly, I would like to see all $300 million go to that $1.5 billion unfunded mandate by the federal government for sewer separation project. But that's not reality. The project has to be completed within a year to qualify. That stimulus money, we're going to get $3.5 million from the state of Nebraska for the sewer separation project, which I applaud the governor on. Stimulus money needs to go towards those jobs that are sustainable, that will be there after a year in Omaha. The other aspect of it is that we have to funnel some of that money that's coming into the state to workforce development, to education, making sure that we are training the individuals with the proper education to fill the jobs that are currently vacant, which is going to sustain our city here on out.
Held out.
A careful reading of the stimulus package will demonstrate that the city of Omaha will be eligible for a number of categories of potential assistance. Combined sewers, transit authority to replace up to 75% of our transit buses here in Omaha, housing, community development block grant, law enforcement, lots of programs that sustain current programmatic activity, including Medicare and Medicaid, but not very much for shovel-ready projects like bridges and roads, about $37 million out of the $837 billion will be available to spread across 21,000 cities in the country. So not much of it will trickle down, and a good deal of it is short-lived because it's stimulative in the short run, but then no money is there in the pipeline necessarily that you can count on to sustain those programs. So let's do some of our own stimulus. Let's have four economic development tracks, economic development zones built in the city like we did the South Omaha Stockyards Project or the North Omaha Business place that's right over there where we have hundreds of people going to work every day and that property back on the tax rolls. That's permanent good jobs that are sustainable over time. Let's have a homeowner's improvement tax credit out of our own city property tax credit that stimulates roofing and electrical and plumbing and heating and air conditioning and new concrete and all those things that grow by improving within our own resources to keep our jobs growing during an economic recession. Those are the kinds of things I would do and be very cautious about taking stimulus money. It's here today and gone tomorrow.
Randy Brown?
Along with the more cautious, money usually doesn't come from the government without a price. There might be strings attached to that, so you have to be careful what you take from them. Sewer separation is one of the main focuses, but I want to be cautious with that money first. We need to take a look at it. I don't want to say all these projects that we're going to do with it. We need to be cautious first in making that step. So,
Jim Vogel, you get to start with this next question. And we've already talked about some economic development. Many have come or are arriving in Omaha, projects. But But there is one piece of prime real estate that is underutilized, appears to be in serious trouble. What would you do to revitalize the Crossroads Shopping Center?
Well, that's a great question. It's right by my house in Dundee. Certainly, with my 8 years of commercial real estate development experience, I've seen how Omaha has grown. I've seen how it's not grown. And that is an asset that unfortunately has suffered the effects of the economy and specifically the retail segment of our community. I think 72nd and Dodge, just as Omaha by Design is outlined, is an area of civic importance, and that corner is vital for the future of our city. But specifically, to answer your question, I think it's a great opportunity for a mixed-use development that incorporates both corporate office, potentially urban living, and retail on that corner. And I think it's right for a right developer to come to Omaha to do that.
Held up. Crossroads.
Given the history of working with that intersection, maybe you remember it before we widened Dodge Street to the entrance at University of Nebraska at Omaha at the Thompson Alumni House. We widened and improved 72nd north and south, if you remember, from Western all the way to the interstate, and did a lot of those improvements to make that intersection now much more viable. So I've had some experience with looking at development like the questioner is asking, and so it's that kind of work we can do. Now, you have to be careful. If you look down below where Dillard's is shut down on the west end, you will see another couple of vacancies where the Best Buy used to be and a grocery store in there. I think the real key to this one is to work with the development community to pick up that piece of property and put it into a design plan that will expand the potential uses there along with mass transit for that intersection. And those are the kinds of things I'll be looking for in private-public partnerships with the Chamber of Commerce and the owner of the shopping center and the surrounding community. I think that's the way you get it done, and government by itself is not the answer to solving any blighted neighborhood by itself. It can be a partner, but it can't solve it by itself.
Randy Brown, Crossroads.
The main focus we need to look at first, from what I've heard, if they can correct me if I'm wrong, we're number three in the United States for regulation on small businesses. What are you going to see in a mall? It's small businesses. We need to work on deregulating that so people can survive. You can't survive if you're regulated on everything you do. As a mayor, you need to help the people to grow their businesses. That's where we need to start. They're not going to move in there if they're already seeing a roadblock. So,
Jim Settle, Crossroads.
I campaigned for city council on the theme of filling vacant storefronts with businesses. Part of that implementation, and I've spent three-fourths of my time doing that throughout mainly my district but other parts of the city, was the Ollie the Trolley runs. We did two of those so we could take our commercial realty and bankers and others on window shopping tours through my district. Last April, we did that with the Crossroads as a starting and end point. I actually contacted the chairman of the board and the president of the Simon Company. They sent two individuals to the city. They have an active plan underway right now, and we've been quietly working with them on different ideas, including renovation, total reconstruction, and there are other ideas that are being looked at. We had a meeting with Mayor Fahey some 4 or 5 weeks ago as we're following through quietly on that plan on what to do, and we'll continue to do that. That's an example of the type of mayor that I will be. I made an offer to go with our Chamber of Commerce once a month on a trip anywhere in the USA as we sell to bring investors into this great city, whether it's industry, whether it's commercial, and I will continue to do that as I've been doing with the Crossroads Shopping Center.
New question. Hal Dobb, we begin with you. If the city comes up short financially in this economic environment, and given that everybody pledges not to raise taxes, what would you do to prevent a tax increase? What services would you cut?
First of all, I wish the question were simple enough that I could just answer no. But you all know that I can't do that. And shouldn't, because it's a very serious and important question. I'm the only candidate for mayor that's worked hard at fashioning a budget that reduced the tax burden on Omahans. For the esoteric attention you will pay to mill levies, from 62.5 mills to 42 mills. Taxes did go up in the last 8 years, actually, in 2002. Taxes went up on the City-County Building Commission. I'm the only candidate that's never voted to raise taxes, and I'm the only candidate who's actually led the effort with the City Council to reduce the tax burden by wisely investing in jobs creation and economic growth. Yes, you have to make an investment in order to get a payback. So you prioritize, you leanly manage City Hall, and you do what is necessary to make a balanced budget, which is required by our charter, which we always want to do. Now, this budget is unbalanced. We have fire overtime and police overtime and health care costs for city employees that have not yet been booked. Probably nearly $20 million. Our budget is out of balance right now. So management during the last few years of the budget and city councils vote to tax and vote to spend and they pass the budgets hasn't gotten the job done. The leadership that I have from my experience will get that job done.
Randy Bryan, taxes.
With everything we have on the table, it's going to be hard to avoid taxing people. We're going to have to look at the entire structure of everything, every operation that's under the mayor. There might have to be some cuts. And it's happening because of poor decisions. I don't want new taxes. But we're going to have to look at everything, a broad picture, and I'll make it available to everybody. And then we can move forward. But we're going to check out everything under the control of the mayor.
Jim Sottle, taxes.
When I was in my early teens, my father said to me, "Son, I hate paying taxes, but I'll gladly pay them if I can see a return on my investment, and I don't see a return on my investment." I've never forgotten that statement, and it's been something that I've followed my entire professional career and built my work on. That's what I'll do as mayor. Are you ready to see a return on your investment? You deserve one. We need to look at this city. All of us can reflect on the past, but you need a mayor who's going to lead Omaha to the future. That's where we're going. And the future is growth, and the future is finding the ways to get the efficiencies going by getting more things online so city government works with you to achieve the goals that you want, whether you're in business or whether you're a citizen or a neighborhood. That's the kind of mayor I'll be. We need a rapid growth right now to come out of this recession. We've got to be, as I said earlier, one of the top five cities in growth in the next 4 or 5 years, not one of just 200 cities struggling.
Jim Vogel.
For the record, and to make the record straight, 8 years in office, never voted for a property tax rate increase. I don't sit on the building commission. Councilman Settle does when the taxes went up there. So I have my hands clean on raising property taxes. Never have done so. Managed 8 budgets on the city council with a rate of spending under the rate of inflation. More importantly, just this last December, I applaud Mayor Fahey for coming out with and asking his departments to cut city spending in advance of sales tax revenues projected to be lagging in 2009. I too took a leadership role and announced $5.5 million worth of cuts in our city budget without cutting public safety, by the way, and I will continue to use that fiscal discipline and my ability to find waste in government to make sure that the upcoming bills facing our great city don't come on the backs of taxpayers.
Randy Bryan, you get the first shot at this next question. This new multi-million dollar baseball stadium being built in downtown Omaha to house the College World Series. It appears the Omaha Royals won't be playing there, and so far at least not much else except the College World Series. What would you suggest to better utilize this new stadium?
Well, I heard the council had an idea about putting some lights in there so it has a nice little aura, like it looks like something's going on. So that's a start. I'm going to do my best to fill it. That's a mess. Why would you do something like that? That should have been brought to the voters for whether they wanted a stadium. I'm going to do my best to fill it.
Jim Sottle?
When this got started, I certainly challenged the thinking and the ideas. It's a bold idea. It's a great idea to bring the stadium down here. But we certainly had a lot of loose ends and a rush to judgment on this whole stadium. That discussion's over. We got some 8 documents that have been signed. we need to be good to our word. We need to have this stadium built on time, on budget, and ready for use. That's the question. We have a plan A, and plan A has been to get minor league baseball to join the College World Series. So what's plan B? As an engineer, I've always been trained, you got to have a plan B in place. So the challenge is for all of you, the next time I see you, I want one idea from you. And to date, I've been collecting ideas, and I'm glad to see some of my colleagues here at the podium are starting to talk about this too. What's plan B? Is it professional soccer? Is it professional horse shows? Is it Luis Palau bringing in religious events? Is it rock concerts? Is it bringing two major league teams for a weekend of series of four games? Is it the high school tournaments from both Iowa and Nebraska? We need to think out of the box. If we can bring in the Olympic swimming trials with no swimming pool, we can certainly fill this stadium so we can get the rest of this developing down here. Thank you.
Jim Vogel.
Well, I feel very confident in the abilities of Mecca. They're very close with a minor league team. We're getting closer. I talk with Father Schlegel on a regular basis in bringing Creighton into that stadium. If we look outside of the north and we see the great expansion of Creighton University and Father Schlegel's vision, it once included a baseball stadium for themselves in 2009 in their master plan. But because of the state of the economy, they're looking more seriously at playing at that stadium, and I'm confident that they will. Let's talk about the area around the stadium and what I will do as your next mayor to make sure that we attract the tenants, and that is put good retail and urban development around that stadium that will be there for 52 weeks of the year to attract the tenants, encourage them to come and play in that baseball stadium. We've got to think outside the box. Councilman Sell is correct. I'm a big Cubs fan. I think of Wrigley Field, bringing in a hockey team to play here in the winter, making sure that we can have ice skating in the winter for our families here in Omaha.
Hal Dodd, stadium.
I do subscribe, as you all know, to the idea that if you build it, they will come. But in a recessionary time, you should temper that just a bit. I'm glad we have a 25-year contract. I applaud the mayor and the efforts that's been made in that regard. And I'm very pleased that we have a new stadium underway, and that was required by the contract I had the chance to negotiate, which is the current contract, because TV royalties drive NCAA revenues. So it was very critical. So all of that's fine. But you can't just, you know, do sports complex activity over on the UP shop site that you can look out and see called Track C, because it's up for sale for $10 to $20 million. That's a lot of money, so you got to know how you're going to pay for things before you do them. Rugby, soccer, all sorts of professional leagues in Division I and Division II are available all around us, and team openings that could be used, that the field has to be constructed right. So there's a challenge. We've got a chance to modify the way we're designing and building that stadium to accommodate other uses. If you study recreational activity, you don't bring concerts to Omaha very easily. Remember what happened at Memorial Park last summer? The winds came, the rain came, the event was canceled. Most event planners won't bring concerts. We'd have had them at Rosenblatt if, in fact, that was available for expanded revenue sources. Let's watch carefully the burden of new uses and creative uses, which I like to hear in our discussions. And then the financing is going to be a big burden because casino revenues, hotel, motel, and rental car taxes, and the cost of bonds, which have to be issued, aren't the same today as they were 6 months ago.
You know, as long as I've been doing this, this has never happened before, but these guys are not using all of the time we're giving them for questions. I can't understand.
You should have been there yesterday.
All right. We may have a little extra time here at the end for a question or two or three from the audience. If you've got something that you are dying to ask, there's paper and pencil on your table. Go ahead and write the question down and raise your hand, and somebody from the league will bring it up. And as I say, maybe we'll have time for a question or two. Jim Settle.
Yes, sir.
New question. What is the most difficult problem or situation left to you by the Fahey administration?
Well, I don't visualize it that way. I've said publicly all along now that the mayor's office should be a platform for the future. And I think Mayor Fahey has provided that platform. My job is to take and put in place the next building blocks that will grow that platform to the next plateau and the future.
Jim Vogel.
As I spend time on the campaign trail, I think it's important to emphasize it doesn't matter how we got here. It's important on what we're going to do. That's why I think it's important to discuss the $500 million pension situation. That's why I came out with a plan in February. It's important how we're going to discuss, as we have done on projects like Destination Midtown and the projects within those boundaries, Midtown Crossing, Exarban Village, how we're going to expand economic development, do good urban projects that's going to create long-term sustainable jobs. We've got a great city, and we've got a lot to build on. It's not important how we got here. It's important that we have the vision and they understand how to fix it.
Al Dodd.
Churchill said, words to this effect, if you know history, you can make history. If you ignore it, you do so at your peril. So what's happened in the past is instructive. That's why we think that the word experience means something. Whether it's in a corporation or a business or your physician or your lawyer, whoever it might be, you want to hire somebody who's experienced, who knows what they're doing, who's had the exposure to people and problem solving that can make a difference. And you rely on that track record. So I think that it is important to appreciate the question that was asked without pointing fingers, because the campaign should be about the future and what we're going to do going forward. But it's important to understand why those problems are in front of us, and that's instructive about how we can fix them. So I think the two most important problems are clearly city finances, the loss of the AAA bond rating, and that's pervasive. It's the cash reserve. It's the way in which our bond ratings have dropped. It's the police, fire, civilian, pension, unfunded debt, the structural problem with those things. It's not just the market tanking us to our 101Ks. It's the structural problem that was exacerbated in 2004 and made much more difficult. And that ties in with the larger picture of public safety, because we have fewer officers in fire and police service on the street now delivering that rapid response that we need. So you got to settle on the finance issue as it relates to public safety and to economic development and all those other good things that we're capable of doing in this great city, because our public-private partnerships and our neighborhood resources are so powerful. We can get her done. We just have to put our minds to it.
Randy Brown.
Well, one of the reasons why I'm running, I want to see the trust built back. You elect somebody into office, and you want to make sure that they use your tax dollars to their benefit. And you keep their, let them have a voice on the things that happen. That's my main focus, that you can trust the person in there.
Hal Dodd, let's begin with you. How do you see yourself as different from your opponents?
Well, I haven't been in public office the last 8 years. And some people ask me why I'm running again, and they also ask me if I've changed. I think my hair is a little grayer, and I think that I've got a little better perspective, and maybe my judgment might be more keen. Let's just leave it at that I've evolved to a process of thinking in a recessionary environment very carefully and planning for what we're going to do. So if you look at my 7-point comprehensive crime plan, if you look at my 15-point economic growth plan, if you look at my Operation Many Hands, biblical expression, many hands make for light lifting, to clean up our neighborhoods. If you look at what I say about being a healthier city, if you look at what I say about what we need to do together, the mayor and the council, to solve our very serious city fiscal problems, what you will see is someone who's been very thoughtful and very engaged in listening to more than 100 neighborhood association leadership groups and hundreds of other groups, thousands of people. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I've had one good idea in my whole life, maybe one. I get my idea, and I'm not very good at this political stuff, but I am good at the public policy speech of bringing people together, figuring out the problem, and bringing the right resources together to make a plan and execute it. Vision's a great thing, but not tempered if it's not tempered with realism, practicality, and good judgment and experience, we're not going to get the job done. So that's where I think I'm different. My experience as a member of Congress, working with state legislatures, are the things that I think make me different from my opponents.
Randy Brown, how do you see yourself as different?
Well, at this point right now, I'm a blue-collar worker. I work as a mechanic. When I originally put this on, it said Brown for Mayor. I had to change out of my mechanic's uniform, and this is, I ended up with stripes. It was so quick getting here. So, how am I different? I don't have a lot of money. I did run a business. I took a business from losing money to making money, and they're still open to this day. They're going to close it in Mason City, Iowa. I feel as a community, we're just getting taxed to death. We're losing out. We're not getting much for our investment. I'm looking to bring that back.
Jim Suttle?
I have 30 years of experience in business, taking a company and being part of the growth team that took a company from 7 offices and 350 people to 7,000 employees and 150 offices. I understand all those components that go into business. That's an experience that I will bring as a pro-business person who thinks business and acts business and puts in place business techniques. But as an engineer, I'm driven to solve problems. The problem that you're faced with, you set the outcome, and then you work on the strategies and the implementation techniques to get from here to here. My opponents have already thought out their plans. They have published a 10-point plan, a 14-point plan. You'll notice in my plans, the outcomes will be set, and there's plenty of room for you to join with others to figure out all the details and the strategies. That's been my career, facilitating answers, facilitating the strategies that lead us to those outcomes. That's the type of mayor I'll be.
Jim Vogel.
I am running to be the CEO of the city, not because I'm addicted to running for various public offices, but because I have a passion for the city and because I believe I have the right kind of experience to move the city forward. I understand what the issues are, and I have the plans to fix them. 8 years ago, when I took office as a city councilman, I developed strong relationships with neighborhood groups. We've done a lot of great things by bringing people together, improving city services, adding graffiti vans, adding additional housing inspectors, making laws stronger on prostitution and gun-related crimes. I know how to bring people together. I was part of the effort to restore civility back in City Hall. I'm going to use this type of management style to lead Omaha into the future. Thank you.
You know, we do have a couple of minutes left for a couple of questions from the audience, maybe just one. But here, opinions on a light rail system connecting residential to downtown commercial and entertainment. Randy Brown?
I'm against it without voter approval.
Jim Sullivan?
Well, this city has matured enough that it is ready to consider the pros and cons of a trolley or a light rail type of system. As a professional engineer in transportation planning, I've dealt with many of those systems across this entire country. But here is what the real question is. Will a trolley system, the core system, generate $1 billion in economic development 3 blocks on either side of that rail line? That's the question. Or is it $750,000? Or is it $500 million? Or is it $100 million? That's the question we have to answer. With that in place, it is first about development, second about transportation. In the long term, it will be more about transportation, and we can begin to grow it with legs to other parts of the city.
Jim Vogel.
Gary, I think it's important that on a project this size that we have a business plan that shows us the economics, the feasibility, and the usership of a light rail system or a trolley system before I can endorse any project. Certainly it would be nice, but once again, we've got to run the city like a business. We've got to make sure that we are able to afford the big ticket items that we've already done, that we get back to basic city services, and making sure that the public, you as our stakeholders, have a seat at the table before we move forward with any of these large projects.
Al Dodd.
Yes.
It's your time to answer.
I did.
Oh, yeah. You like the idea. Light rail system.
Well, there's two plans that are of record. HDR has done a great job of doing a transportation study, so we've studied this thing to death. 153 other cities in America are doing light rail, given 240th in plowed ground and commute times and energy costs, and trying to do smart growth and infill and use the space we've got, particularly in the River Corridor, for more affordable transportation for people who are less financially well off or don't have one car or two cars and would like to be able to get to work at Old Mill with reliable bus transportation after 10 o'clock at night and on the weekends or to hospitals. Let's integrate a light rail system with a park and ride system like in Denver. Let's connect it so that it's on a route that's affordable, using tax increment financing, and it can be done without any tax increase on that 2 or 3 block pathway, either side of a system. Light rail is not for everybody. It's not for every city. But if you pick the right route, so that we make sure we have ridership that supports the annual operating costs and avoid the subsidy of it. It makes a big difference. It's a great economic driver. It makes a real city out of it. And 10 years from now, we'll be very sad if we haven't gotten it done. It's great that Mayor Fahey's now supporting it, and the council is studying it again now for the third time. And maybe we're about to where the consensus might be to take that vote of the people, which is so important when you do $140 to $200 million projects and involve them like we did in the Quest Center.
New question. Jim Sottle, you start this. And this has to do with being certain that there is minority representation in City Hall, in the mayor's office. A couple of questions with regard to that. Because of the elimination of any affirmative action programs, how are you going to address diversity within the city departments specifically? And what were your thoughts on the elimination of the affirmative action plans?
Well, I firmly believe that you need to have a city of inclusion. You need to have a city of transparency. You need to have a city of diversity. When you look at my administration, you will see Omaha. We need to focus on the bigger picture of the city, the unity, and the people. I'm a firm believer also in leading by example, and I will follow the examples that are proper for our city to address opportunities for any and all.
Jim Vogel?
I'm very confident by hiring the best and the brightest and surrounding myself with the best and the brightest of Omaha that my administration will look like Omaha. Inclusion of both minority and non-minority individuals at City Hall and on boards throughout city government. I think it's also important to talk about the small emerging business program, too, to make sure that we have all minority and non-minority businesses on the same level playing field as we bid for city contracts, given the constitutional amendment that was just recently passed this last fall.
Hal Dodd.
My dad, when he died, set up a trust and a foundation grant for the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and the limitations on it were that the kids eligible for the scholarship from our foundation fund had to be from within 25 miles of Beatrice, Plymouth, or Fairbury, and they had to be of German descent, and the money couldn't be available to them if they didn't demonstrate the need. And now, under the constitutional change that's occurred by an overwhelming vote of the people, those limitations are no longer constitutional. They're no longer the law. And I voted for affirmative action, equal opportunity every time I could when I was a member of Congress. I believe in them strongly. We've got a dilemma here to empower enterprise and small business and startups, and minority. The Section 8 program still exists in the federal government to help minority businesses. So there's a collision here that we have to figure out. But the first thing we can do is to set the example in a city that's 31% people of color and growing, to make sure that the mayor's cabinet, like my first cabinet was, very diverse with minorities and men and women of all stripes, including disability. Make sure that my appointments as mayor of the city, like they were last time, half and half, Republican, Independent, and Democrat, men and women. Plumber isn't good because he's Republican or Democrat. You want a good plumber. You want people that ride the bus and are handicapped on the mat board. And you can go back and look at my record. That's how I think about these things. And the city should be a mere reflection if it's to be trusted by its taxpayers and voters and the citizens delivery. If we're going to be a city that grows in the future, 80,000 people in the next few years, we need to have inclusion and diversity, including contracting.
Randy Brown.
As part of my plan, donating part of my salary and working with the community organizations with gang violence and crimes, I hope to be part of that bridge, bridging the gap, actually working with the people personally.
We are just about out of time. I'm going to ask one more question and ask the timer to cut these down to a minute, if you would. And I'm not sure how much the mayor can do about this, but we have people who are concerned about, you know, housing prices gone down. Seems like assessments have not gone down with them in some cases. What do we do about that kind of a situation? Is that something the mayor can address? Who have we got up here? Randy Brown?
I'll have to look into it.
Okay. Jim Sutton, is there anything?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. I think you're mixing two things. One, the assessor side will begin to adjust itself, and we certainly have the county assessor in place for that. But on the other side, we need to generate a means of encouraging developers and financial interest in the older part of our city. As we do so many things to bring code enforcement up, we have oodles and oodles of vacant lots, vacant tracts. We have houses that are in foreclosure that are available for rehabilitation. And I think the tools have to be put there, and we have to have the incentives in place. And the mayor can provide that type of leadership. Just as I demonstrated with the Ollie the Trolley type runs, which were designed to get the developers who were focused on the West to come look at the older parts of the city and begin to see the wonderful ideas and opportunities that are here. And that's what we need to do. We need to spark that through the mayor's office.
Jim Vogel.
The mayor does have the ability for affordable housing in the property tax rate, one of 11 or so taxing entities on your tax bill. In 8 years, I've never voted for a property tax rate increase, and in fact, 2 years ago, I do have a record of trying to give back $1.3 million to the taxpayers to reduce your property tax rate when the city government fined an extra $1.3 million after the assessor came through with higher valuations. Only Councilman Severson on the council supported that effort, but I have a track record of reducing the property tax rate and holding the line on taxes, and that is how we sustain market value and encourage growth.
Held out.
I'm still trying to figure out why the property tax mill levy went up in 2002. But North Omaha Business Park, as I said before, South Omaha Stockyards, dilapidated, rundown places that are now vibrant, the property back on the tax rolls, jobs there, people who can then, with those jobs, pay for their apartment or a new house, make their payments. Very important. Sustainable economic development, economic growth. To have viable economic growth, you have to have a good tax climate, and you have to have low crime, if any. Those are two key ingredients in how you create jobs. And then you build those four economic development zones that I'm talking about. You use the tax credit for home improvement to lower the tax burden on Omahans. The lead lag of our recession is going to take our property tax and normal valuation, as Councilman Suttle just said a minute ago, to flat to down probably for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. So we'll have less sales and property tax receipts, and that's why you have to do it with the free market or you can't do it at all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Our question and answer session is over. It's time to go to closing statements. Each of you have 2 minutes. Jim Vogel, you will start.
Well, thank you, everyone, again. I'm honored to have my wife, Liz, in the audience, my parents, Jim and Nell. Certainly, this campaign has been great, and I'm glad you're all here today. I was born here. I was raised here. I went to school here around the corner at Creighton University. I built a career here, and now I'm raising a family here with my wife, Liz. I have more at stake in the future of this city because of my children, Kate and Will, who are 5 and 3, than I believe anybody up here today. Well, we've been talking about violent crime, making our streets safe, creating opportunities and jobs, strong economy, fixing the pension system, making sure our property tax rate environment is low. I have done that in the last 8 years on the City Council. I have a strong record of working with neighborhood associations, bringing people together, using my 8 years of experience in finance, my 8 years of experience in commercial real estate development, and most recently, my 8 years of experience on the City Council, to continue to move Omaha forward. Just look out your window here today, folks. This is a great city. We are the best city in the United States, in my opinion. I have a strong passion for the city, and together with your help, we will make the city better together. I'm ready to roll up my sleeves. I'm ready to lead and become the CEO of the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Vogel. Hal Dodd.
I want to thank the League of Women Voters for 2 things. One, for having us all together today to do this, and I enjoy being with my colleagues in this competition. I want to thank you, Gary, for moderating, and I particularly want you to tune into the website to see the answers that we've all provided to the very, very insightful questions that were asked by the League of Women Voters. Campaigns are incubators for ideas. That person who listens well and says to the public, if you elect me, if you give me the privilege of being your mayor for the next 4 years, these are the goals I've set. These are the things that I believe that together we can do to be a safer city, a cleaner city, a healthier city, and together we can look back 4 years from now and say that we beat the recession. I know we can do that. Those are attainable goals. With experience, small and large business, most of my life spent in the private sector, not in the public sector. Certainly having been away from government for a while to gain that additional perspective, we've got to think about how we get through this time that so many of our friends and neighbors are going to experience in very, very painful terms economically, and grow our city and not go backwards. It's so critical. So I have a passion for our city, a love for the city. My wife, Mary, and I so much enjoy our civic and philanthropic and charitable work. It's important because it gives us that other perspective, not just the political perspective, but from Salvation Army to Optimist Clubs to Junior League to Jocelyn. It gives us the ability to know people in this community and understand the things we need to do and why this city is so great. So I view our city as full of opportunity, not just full of problems. I think we have a great city, and it can be greater if we think about how to do three things. Get our crime rate down, make sure we grow jobs during this cycle of recession, and make sure that we get our city's finances back in order. I have the background, the training, the experience, and maybe an evolution that will give us a chance to keep the ship steady through these troubled waters.
Jim Sottle, your closing statement.
Having been here nearly 38 years, I am truly blessed. I'm blessed with my family, my wife Deborah, my friends and colleagues and staff members that are here and volunteers for the campaign. We're blessed truly with a wonderful people and a wonderful city. At HDR, when I came to work on October 11th of 2071, Chuck Durham was a stickler that all of our presentations close by asking for the job, and I'm going to ask for the job today. I want to be the 50th mayor of this city. I want to be your mayor. I want to be the leader that can take you to the future. I want the job on April 7th. Put that X next to Jim Sottle. Thank you.
Randy Brown.
Thank you very much for inviting me today. I was kind of cautious in accepting this. It seems like a lot of things we debate about are things we've caused as politicians. I'm hoping that in this opportunity I can hand you back a city you can be proud of. And I want to be a part of it, working with you. Thanks.
Thank our candidates for being here today.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. We've heard a mayoral forum featuring four of the five declared candidates seeking the office of mayor of Omaha. Former Mayor Hal Dobb, current City Councilman Jim Sottle and Jim Vocal, and Randy Brown, a mechanic for Reich's Equipment. The fifth candidate for mayor, Mort Sullivan, declined the invitation to participate in the forum. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, March 19, 2009, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, April 16th at 12 noon. At that time, we'll hear a debate between the two winners in the race for Omaha mayor in tomorrow's primary election. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening and encouraging you to vote in tomorrow's primary election.